Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Praise the Lord. Lord, I just thank you and I honor you for all you've done and all you're doing. I just pray, God, that you would help us as we get into your word, to know you, to follow you, to love you. Now, Lord, I ask that you would think through my mind and speak through my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. And every glad heart said amen. Amen. I bring you greetings today, Bethel. Y'all looking good, good enough for venue. And those watching by line, we're glad you're here. And God has got a word for us. I'm going to complete this series at your service. This is our fourth message. We're going to spend most of our time in John 13. And we may visit 1 Peter 4 a little bit. Now, as we get into this series today, I don't want to have you confused at all that everything we talk about today is centered around our opportunity to serve Jesus, his cause, and his purpose, which means there are going to be times in the sermon where you realize you're going to have to get dirty, you're going to have to do the tough jobs and the work, and you're going to have to be come prepared for the work. Can I get an amen? Amen. So I've come today prepared. Don't hate, relate. That's what you need to be saying. But because I'm on the fourth message, it means you haven't said it clearly yet. I'm going to help you today. Understand that sometimes we come to church and we are so focused on what we get that we forget that it's an opportunity to give ourselves in worship and in honor of God. We have to say that we, Lord, are at your service. So if you don't have your jumpsuit, it's because you didn't sign up. And I know it's not a lot of amens on this message. You know why? Because it requires something of you. It requires something of you. Let it be a reminder that something's required every moment you look up at me today in my attire. I had the privilege of starting at this church, and I had the privilege of being a part of the parking lot ministry for about 2 years. It was the first ministry that I was assigned to, the first ministry I got an opportunity to serve in, and the first one where I learned when you show up, if you accidentally do a good job, they will give you more work to do, and they will give you the whole ministry eventually to do it. You know, they don't mind. If you're doing a good job, they will promote you to more. And I was serving there. When it rained, when it snowed, when it lightning, because we don't stop church when it lightning, y'all just come. You'll be all right. Y'all lighten up, 10. Okay, lighten up. You can have fun at church, okay? So look, this is how we start. No one is asked to do something that others haven't done, but I pray today that as you hear what Jesus has done for us, that great motivation would enter your heart and in your mind. And three particular anchors I want you to focus on as you think about the Word of God today is that it is very clear to me that Christ came as a servant and served. It is clear to me that Christ served. It is clear to me that at some point I personally and you personally have received service. You received. He served and you received it. Now, the only response you should have is then you should serve. This is very clear about what we want to accomplish today. We want to see what Jesus did and what motivated him to do it. Let's look at John 13. Let's start at the first verse. And let's read. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Here is Jesus during the time of Passover. So this will be a Thursday. This will be about the time that he's having that last meal, or he's going to celebrate what we call now the Lord's table, or communion with his disciples. This would be just hours before, or at least a day before, he's going to end up on a cross. This would be sometime close to the time when he's going to be betrayed. He's going to be denied. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be whipped. He's going to find himself in that garden, remember, crying and having that sweat that's like sweats and drops of blood. He's going to be in that moment where not only is he going to pay the price on the cross physically through physical torment, but spiritually, the weight of all the past, present, and future sins that causes separation between God and man is going to be laid upon him, and he's going to be separated from the Father, and he's going to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now this pain that Jesus is about to experience, he's cognizant of, he's knowledgeable about, and he's at his last meal where he could be emphasizing himself, but yet his emphasis is, the people I started out loving are the people I'm with now, and I want you to know I loved them in the beginning, and I loved them all the way to the end. And that the inspiration of everything you see or have seen me do for them, the service, is all motivated through the power of love. Remember this as you look at this text today. Love is not what you get, but it's what you get to give to another person. And you might question today whether the authenticity of the love that you say that you offer to people when it is not synonymous with the aim of love that he gave. I'm not saying that you're without love. I'm just saying you might be without the aim of love or the focus of love being clear to you, which is to give. And let me tell you, there are plenty of opportunities to display this type of love in action all the time. This is not an emotional love only, or I don't even think it's the high point of the emphasis. This is love in action. You can tell your woman all day long, baby, you know I love you. Baby, I love you. I know you know I love you. But, you know, if them flowers and other things don't show up at some regularity, then you in trouble. Because it's what have you done for me lately? I know I'm going to send me some flowers quick because I just noticed I ain't sent none in a while. And I said that up here. I will pick you a daisy today. Verse 2. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So you got to see Jesus, what he's about to do as an act of service for his disciples. He's done out of love. And number two, he's done knowing that the guy sitting at the table with him, boasting to be a friend and a disciple, that Satan is not put, but the real word is has thrown a thought in, betray Jesus. Jesus knows that the person's feet, which he will eventually wash, are the feet of someone who hates him, who doesn't believe in him. Your service, if it's motivated by love, is not dependent upon the perfection of the person that you're ministering to. It doesn't depend on them thinking exactly like you or being exactly like you. In fact, they may be opposite, not even like your way, but to be like Christ and to love like Christ means you still serve him. You know, I mean, amen means I agree. So when it's preaching, and even if it hurt, what you gonna say? You know, oh, that's tough, but I agree. Amen, 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 amen. That'll help you get through. All right, next one. Verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God. It was Jesus knew who he was, knew where he came from, knew he had authority, knew he was King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He knew what his mission was, and he knew that heaven was his reward, and he was going to be sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He didn't think that the cross was going to defeat him. He knew exactly who he was, yet he maintained this posture of love and service that you're going to see. He knew he had enemies. He knew he had some pain waiting on him, but he knew he had a glorious day. In fact, he had said, God, give me the glory that I had with you before. He knew he had something to look forward to. But verse 4 says, with all the knowledge that he had about the pending pain and the pending glory, he rose from supper. He laid aside his garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist and poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. And he wiped them with the towel that was wrapped around his waist. I love that Jesus was already in the posture to do something else. He rose from supper. That means he already sat down. He had already did whatever he needed to do to prepare himself, but he saw something was missing. Something was lacking. He saw when he was in his own comfort, but yet his own things he needed to think about what he had to do, when no one would disqualify him for sitting at the table, knowing that all he's about to go through, to take him a little moment for himself, you know, build himself up in his most holy faith or something. No. Jesus gets up. I see that these people have come in looking filthy. I see that the people whom I love are not even cognizant or noticing that they've got stuff on them that should make the meal unpleasant. And instead of Jesus calling for one of the servants or calling for whoever the owner of the home was to, hey, janitorial services, could y'all handle this? Excuse me. What department do they have to wash the feet? Get them feet washed, people. Yeah, Pete, it's about 12 people in here with nasty feet. Peter, get the feet washed, people. That department, what's called? FW? Yeah, them. Feet washers, FW, okay. Yeah, okay. Y'all, so I ain't gonna get it quick. Just after service, ask. He got up because he saw it. You see stuff around your house and the church all the time. You see the dishes in the sink. James, that's what my wife say to me. Why didn't you clean them? Well, let me get my answer, then let me get the Bible answer. The reason I didn't clean them is because I would have done it as a one-time gesture, not as a permanent part of my normal duties, and I didn't want it to be mistaken that I'm gonna be doing this all the time. So I didn't want to just be starting something I couldn't finish. So I just said, some of them kids, they can do that. I don't need to do that. So that's what happened to me. But if I was thinking right, can't lie in church, you just tell the truth. If I was thinking right, if you see the need, you handle it. Because here is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the boss of all the universe, seeing what's going on and say, you know what, I'll do it. And the thing is, the Bible's making it clear, he's doing it in a motivation of love. He's doing it ignoring his pain. He's doing it ignoring his former glory and his pending glory. He's washing the disciples' feet. Can you see the problems around you at home, in your community, in your church that need you? Christ served so that we could receive the service. He did it, but it must still be received. Verse 6. came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? I got to know because, Lord, I think that's nasty. Lord, I think that's beneath you. Lord, have you looked at what Mark's got going on in between his toes? I went to cut my grandmother's toenails one time. I looked at them. My mom's here. Mama, were they right? They was wrong. Wrong. Number one, I wasn't strong enough to cut it. Yep. Feet are horrible items. They're nasty. It's hard to have to deal with those things. He says, Lord, Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you don't understand now, but afterward you'll understand. Peter said to him, you will never, and I mean never, wash my feet. It's disgusting. It's inappropriate. I don't think you should do it, and I definitely don't want you to set an example for me to be doing something that nasty. Peter said to him, okay, Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. If you don't receive what I'm doing, you and I are going to have a breach relationally. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, I changed my mind. Not my feet only, because you can have them, but also my hands and my head. Peter is ridiculous. Always getting ahead of God. Whenever you are feeling that the Lord or the people of God are trying to get you to do something and the things in your mind say no and you're always second guessing it, I'm telling you, that's the wrong way of thinking being interjected just for you to come around and say, you know what? With all the weaknesses of my spouse, they deserve service. With all the weaknesses of my home, they deserve service. My community, the school, the government, the church, all deserves your love and service. Because if you're going to be like Jesus Christ, you're going to have to love like him. And if you're going to have a part of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to receive what he's done. Because if you don't receive what he's done, you cannot duplicate it. Not in the pure revelation. That's why you need a revelation of who Jesus is and what he has done and why he has done it and how great the salvation is, because it is the engine of motivation to continue to do the work that may not be like fun stuff to do. But I don't think that Jesus was all feeling icky when he was washing the feet. I've been to foot washing service and I'm building my faith up. Like, yes, Lord, I can do it. Yes, Lord. You know, getting extra hallelujahs in so I can touch them feet. It's bad. When you don't like touching your own feet, you don't want to touch nobody else's. Verse 10. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That's why he said, not all of you know. So Jesus is showing us practical things, and he's giving us spiritual insight. You may be bathed. You may have said yes overall to God. But that doesn't mean you still can't get dirty. And that doesn't mean you don't need continual washing and continual sanctification. Whereunto shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. You need to be washed by the word and cleansed by the word. And that's why we stay in church. And he is showing us that there's a practical, physical things that you can receive from the Lord, like how we serve one another at church and how we, you know, you receive benevolence or good deeds or whatever there. And then there are spiritual things that you need to constantly be receiving from God. But it is the receiving of service that gives you the motivation to deliver it. Amen. which is my final point. Verse 12, when he had washed their feet. I love that it said he did it and he didn't start it and not finish. You don't start a work you don't finish. He began it. You don't say, well, I'm gonna just sign up for that little children's ministry stuff, and you know, I'll just see how it goes. I know they want a year commitment, but I'm just gonna go week to week. No. He started that thing and finished it. And put on the outer garments and resumed his place. I love that verse. He got up from the table because he saw a need, motivated by love, and so focused on them instead of himself. He does something for them, and he goes back to his place that he didn't lose. So often we don't want to serve, and we don't want to give because we don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss nothing, so we do nothing. It's going to be good in the service today. I don't want to serve in children and then miss out on something. Well, that's about you. This is not a, I know it's hard to believe. This is hard, what I'm about to tell you. This is not about you. This is exclusively about him. And what he, after you worship him, can be get equipped to do more for him. This is about him. A secondary benefit is anything that you get after he gets all he wants from you. Yeah, you should say amen there because he's done too much for you to hold out your mind, your time, your talent, your treasure from him. Because if he were to hold back his service from you, you would be going to hell. So that's why when you say, ain't no God like Jehovah, ain't no God, I think about how hot hell is. And I'm not going. No, I'm serious. I don't know what you think about. I think about eternal separation and say, oh, ain't no God like Jehovah. Ain't no God like Jehovah. I think about when they're asking me to serve the church that Jesus laid his life down to redeem. Ain't no God like Jehovah. Ain't no God like Jehovah. Get you something right in your knee. Will go in your knee. Do you understand? He said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I so am I. Verse 14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I am giving you an example that you should do just as I have done. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant, which you are, a slave, which you are, is no greater than his master, which I am. Nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. What is the word over our church this year from the Lord? Say it again. Bless. Say it again. Bless. And you're blessed if you do what? You're blessed if you do what?
Serve.
You're blessed if you do what?
Serve.
Who wants to be blessed? Keep your hand up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Then what you're saying is, Lord, I'm available for any and every type of service you need out of me. And it's not because someone asked. My hand, keep that hand up. My hand is up because just like you saw the need, I will be cognizant, I will be aware to look around and see who needs me, and I'll show up. Now, put your hand down and give God a hand clap saying, Lord, that's what I'm going to do for you. His disciples at that same meal had an argument about who is the greatest in the kingdom. Well, I'm great. Well, I think I'm great. Well, who's sitting close to him now? Well, it's me. Well, what did you do? I did enough to sit closer than you. You know, they're arguing about position, status on earth, and status in heaven. You know, you can be around God and the glory of God that comes in a church, and it really can change you in such a way where you understand that you are kings and priests, and you something significant in his glorious kingdom. You somebody, no question about it. But you're still a slave to a master. And Jesus has made it clear to them in an argument, the greatest among you got to be like a child. Child is someone directed, someone told what to do. I'm going to tell you something about grown folk. Just grown folks. Let me tell you about grown folks. None of them that I know like to be told what to do. You tell somebody grown what to do, their neck just get hard. Fat neck already. And they try to, and you got to do a lot of work to loosen that up. And don't throw, Jesus wants you to serve. They'll put a vein in there. They don't understand me enough. Jesus got me on a break. I know this one. That's why y'all laughing, because everybody took a break at the same time. Everybody on the break. Jesus got everybody striking. You'll never do this successfully if you don't have a proper view of what he did in service. And if you don't purely receive the love that he's trying to give you in serving you, you will never give it away. But when you give love and service to others, it not only signifies that you're a son or daughter of Christ, is that you have a revelation of what he's done, and your service is equal to or great, is a greater act of worship than you raising your hands and singing a song. Worship is not limited to a worship set where we sing songs. The songs only help the revelation of who he is if we sing the right songs get down into you deep enough so you can have a response. If you want to come to worship service, this is what it's called, by the way. It's a worship service, and you had no intent to serve, you're missing the opportunity to worship. I'm done. That's message over now. I mean, you don't add none of that. That was just like, bam, even y'all didn't say nothing. I know a good thing when it need to end. I can say amen. I'm going to say, Lord, you know that was good right there. I like how you just punctuated that and ended it. It's over. That message is over. On to the card. Woo, gee, when I get in the back, I'm going to tell them, you know, you good. You're real good. Everyone, the reason that on the last message I'm still pulling out a card after three weeks of giving you a card is because somebody still is not, I know it's not you, but somebody is not filling their card out so that the 300, 400 volunteers that it takes to run church now in two and a half months, when we go into the other church and it takes double that, we will have enough. Or you'll stand there complaining about something. Where we used to have greeters. Where they at? I didn't brought guests. Nobody said hi to us. Where the coffee? Oh, Lord. Look at that scraggly band up there. Them people, call the people. That's just bougie. That's spiritual bouginess. Want to be served. They need some volunteers in this church. They got some at Oasis. I'm sorry. Baby, it was just a funny joke that came out, man. Pastor Danny won't mind. Pastor Danny won't mind. I love him. It's a joke. Danny, I love you. Take your card out and fill it out right now. Get you a pen. I mean, this, everybody's doing it. Put your name on it right now. James Dwayne Lowe. Give me your email. Your name without your email or your phone number is not going to help me call you. If you don't have a card, don't sit there. You wave your hand. Like, I didn't give me a card. There's a few hand wavers. Online audience, there's a virtual. All you do is click the menu, and there's an opportunity for you to go and fill out your card as well. We have things for you to do. X for children's ministry, service production, guest services, youth ministry or worship, if you're going to recommit. Now, you might be saying, my service area is not down there, so you're not marking something. Where these areas are here because these are where we have the most need, so you can just serve twice. See, you were supposed to say, man, thank you, Jesus, for an opportunity to serve you twice. You just thought about more work you had to do. The O would be, if you've never made a commitment, go ahead and make a place. When we all do our part in the church, you'll probably never serve more than once a month or every other month. That's less than the national average of an hour a week. You know the number one place that people serve throughout the entire United States? Is church. So, I know you have other things to do. Make this place, please, a priority. Get your card filled out, and if you would pass it to the right, and the person on the pew to the right, if you would just put it in a stack, right there. Go ahead and pass it to the right. You don't even have to stand up for this altar moment. Ministry team, you can come down. And in the upper venue, ministry team can come down. And if you're watching online, we have ministers ready to minister to you. Just start blogging. Pass your cards to the right, all the way to the right, and they'll collect them at the end of the pew. You know, I'm truly grateful that Jesus saved my life. I can see my mother's here to testify. Did he do a work in my life? She said, oh, yes, he did. It could have turned out different for me. I look at young African-American men. It's not really going good for them all the time. And men in general. I think that God sanctified me and pulled me out of a direction that could have been left and caused me to stand right before you now. But if Jesus is really not ruling in your life, you're not doing yourself a favor by ignoring this moment. Each of us who named his name came to some type of moment like this, where publicly we had to confess, I'm not ashamed of him. He's Lord of my life. Publicly, people around you know when you don't live for Christ, by the way. You may think you're hiding it from them and don't want to identify yourself. But in a service like this today, and online, there are lost people here. So just bow your head for a moment and close your eyes. No one looking around but me. But I'd like to make it a bit comfortable for you to do something that's really important. To acknowledge Jesus for the first time as your Lord and Master and Savior. Or maybe come back to him. And all I want you to do is, if this moment signifies with your heart is beating and your heart is open, then on three, I just want you to raise your hand and keep it up with no one looking but me. One, two, three. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep it up. Just a few more. I'm just going to wait for, thank you. I see you, young lady. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. Can everybody look up and stand up with me? several hands went up, maybe seven that I could see. I can guarantee you it was two or three times that needed to go up. But because we're not a church that's here to embarrass you, this is your call to discipleship. When I say the dismissal prayer, all I'm asking you to do is make your way out of your seat to one of these ministers who want to be in your life, not just for a prayer, but they can help you beyond this moment. If you have health issues, if you got some confusion, whatever it is, this is the moment where we, after the service, try to meet your need. So say hello to your friends, but don't neglect to come down if you need prayer. Bow your head. I'm going to dismiss you now. Lord, I thank you for the love that you showed from the beginning to the end, that you denied yourself the privilege of focusing on yourself, and you focused on humanity. I say thank you, sir. Thank you that we have the opportunity, who have been recipients of your love, to dispense your love yet again. Cause us to be a united family, a community who displays the gospel in action, not just in words. Bless us as we leave this place without your presence. Keep us all in the center of your will and the apple of your eye, and we'll give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God a hand clap of praise and give him glory? We love you so very much. You are loved today. I love you. Jesus loves you. Whatever your prayer needs are, we're here to meet them. God bless you. You are dismissed.